We're in this series that I spoke of earlier. It's called Tactical Advantage. And I want you to know that you have some real advantages in your life, some spiritual weapons that were given to us by God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so each week I'm going over one of these weapons that we can use in order to stand against the enemy, in order to stand against problems and conflicts and situations that are in our life. And today, the weapon that I have for us is, are you ready? Peace. Now there's probably some fellas in the room going, that don't sound like a weapon to me. And I'll go ahead and speak to the fellas for just a moment and say, I'm not talking about some kind of mamby-pamby peace. All right, I'm not talking about some kind of milk toast peace. All right, I'm talking about a weapon, a powerful, mighty, supernatural weapon given by God. Now, to set this weapon up, I need to talk about our current condition. And we're just busy people, aren't we? I bet these days, if you ask 90-some-odd% of everybody, that our condition would be busy. Now you have to get past, of course, our southern tradition when someone says, how you doing? And we say, good. All right, so if there's anybody not from the south, that's how we do it. We see somebody says, how you doing? We say, oh, good. What does that mean? Nothing. It may or may not mean that things are truly good. But I can tell you nowadays, whether you are in the south, the north, or wherever, if you are in the United States of America, about 90% of the people, if they were being honest, they would say, I'm busy. I'm hurried. I'm rushed. Can anybody say amen to that, or am I in the wrong place? Because I'll go preach this over Tractor Supply just as well as if I got the wrong group, okay? You know, so yeah. And here's the thing. Sometimes I realize that I'll sometimes wear it like a badge of honor. Foolish as that is, that if somebody asks me how I'm doing, it's almost like I'm busy, you know? And it makes me feel like I'm productive. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm being efficient. There's still this part of me that loves efficiency. It loves to get the most amount done in a day. And it's my goal when I wake up in the morning is, can I make a list and can I check it off? Ah, there's nothing better than that for me. Make a good list and by the end of the day, check it off. And then say, I'm busy, and go to bed. And I love that. But there is something that is missing in the world today. And that's peace. It's peace. So that when someone says, how are you doing? One of the most foreign things to us is say, I am at perfect peace right now. And so if you're just sitting there, then I would ask you right now, are you sitting there in perfect peace? Peace with God, peace with man, peace with circumstances and situations in your life. Are you at peace? And some of you may say, well, I'm not even sure I know what it is. And so let's just talk about that for a moment. What is peace? I can tell you what it's not. It's not the absence of conflict. There's some people, they believe that if they can just get all of the conflict, all of the worrying and the warfare out of their life, that they'll be at peace. And so peace to them is the absence of something. That's not peace. Some people believe that it's when I can get everyone else to just do what I want them to do. There's no one in the room like that, right? It's like, if you were to be honest with yourself, you would say, peace is this. This is my version of peace. When everyone does what I want them to do. If you will just do it the way I want it done, if you will do it when I want it done, we'll have peace around here. Right? That old saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. It goes for daddy too. If daddy's grumpy, everybody's grumpy. You know? So peace is not when everybody's doing what I want them to do. Peace is also not when God is doing what I want Him to do. You got to think on that for a minute. You see, just as well as we like to control people and circumstances and situations, we like to control God too. That's unfortunate, because He will not be controlled, by the way. Yeah, it doesn't work. But peace is not when I can get God to do everything I want Him to do. That is not peace. So what is peace? I now have this working definition of peace that I'm using, and I'm going to give it to you today. Peace is when I am at harmony with God. I want you to let that settle in for a moment, okay? Peace, real biblical peace, true peace, is when I am at harmony with God. And see, then when I'm at harmony with God, then I don't have to escape from the world. There's a lot of that going on. We have Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights, and it's for anyone who has hurts and hang-ups and habits in life. The more I'm in Celebrate Recovery, the more I realize that all of the world should be in it. You know? Because, boy, we'll look at somebody that's got an alcohol addiction and we'll turn our nose up at them. But you know what? Some of us, and I'll go on and mention this one, some of us, our addiction is chocolate and milk at 9 o'clock at night. I've been tempted several times, y'all, to get a blue chip. And I'm being completely honest. You know, because I don't think we're being honest with ourselves, man. We'll look over our nose at a drug addict and we'll have all kind of ways that we're numbing our pain, that we're escaping from the realities of life and our circumstances and situations, that we're trying to get away. In fact, have you noticed that our culture goes on vacations and many vacations more than ever before, and we still have less peace than ever before? Yeah, because, man, we'll even get up and try to run out of town on it. We think if we just get up and get out of town, we will be at peace. I'm going to share this next week because the message next week, Lord willing, goes in line with this, which is rest. Oh, Lord. Yeah. You see, what we really need in life is peace and rest, but what we go for is things that numb our pain, that cause us to escape into a better place. None of y'all have ever escaped doing this, have you? I'll hold that up high so the back row can see. Right? None of you have ever escaped doing anything like that, right? You know, we've got 1,000 ways that we can escape in life. And it's like, I can't remember who it said. Maybe I can bring it back to you next week. He's a theology professor at Fuller Theological Seminary. He said that escaping in leisure and amusement has become the cotton candy of the soul. Yeah? Everybody loves cotton candy, right? You get it, and all of a sudden, you're like, woo! You can ride every ride in the park, right? And you're like, woo! And that lasts for about 15 minutes, and then you go, oh, Lord, I am just exhausted. You know? You ever been on one of those vacations where you go away, and you come back, and Monday morning goes, and you go, oh, Lord, I need a vacation from the vacation. You know, my leisure has exhausted me. My amusement has exhausted me. I think I've got this thing thoroughly set up for us now, right? Yeah, what we need is true biblical peace. And it is a weapon against everything that is going on in your life. I can tell you that God is peace. In Romans 16, verse 20, Paul ends the letter to the Romans and he says this, the God of peace. You hear that? He's the God of peace. The God of peace. By the way, he says it's going to crush Satan under your foot. So if you've been sitting back praying, wanting God to crush Satan, guess how he's going to do it? Under your foot. That's how it happens. The God of peace. He is the God of peace. And he is going to crush Satan. But his intentions are to do it under your foot. That was free. That ain't part of the message. So he is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of peace. When he left, he sent us the Holy Spirit who becomes our comforter. He gives us peace. In fact, in that portion of things, if you want to turn to it, it's John 14, verse 27. Jesus is leaving and he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace do I give to you. Do you see that? That's why I went through all that I just went through, is because there is something that we call peace that the world tells us to go after, but it's not real peace. So Jesus says, I have a peace and I give it to you, but it's not like the world's. So if you're comparing it to that, you're liable to miss it. You may misunderstand it. What I'm given, Jesus says, is not of the world. He says, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And then he goes on and says, I have given you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Now I want you to see this thing, peace being in harmony with God. That means that I'm at peace with God. So many people don't know where they stand with God. So part of harmony is knowing where I stand with God. In Romans, it tells us that I'm at peace with God. That through Jesus Christ, God is good with you. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, then I can tell you where your position is. You're at peace with God. Not because of what you've done, not because how good you've done it, but because Jesus loved you and he died for you and he put you at peace with God. So that's where we start, is that I'm at peace with God. We're in harmony. And then I become at harmony with His Word. That's why we went into all of the message last week on the Word of God, so that you could be at peace with it. You can be in harmony with what's going on. If you missed it, just go online and listen to it, okay? It's that this Word helps us get into agreement with God. Now, I realize I told you I was talking about a weapon, and I've been talking about harmony, and that's a musical term. But you can tell when you're out of harmony, you know? Chris has got a guitar up there, and I have no idea how anyone plays an instrument and sings a song. I don't know how you do it, you know? But a guitar has all these strings, and you can tell when a musician hits all of the strings in harmony, called a chord with each other, because it just sounds good, right? It just sounds good. You also can hear, you don't even have to be a musician. That's why we can be so critical sometimes, is because we don't know how to play it, but we know it's good when we hear it, right? You know good when you hear it. It's like, oh, that's soothing to the ear. That sounds good. You get a finger off, you're no longer in harmony. You go, that's called dissonance. Okay? And you go, something didn't sound right about that. There are times in our life where we're not in harmony with God, and we realize it because in our emotions, that's where we feel it. We feel it in our emotions. We go, I'm at this dissonance with God. There's something that's just a little bit off. And so let's look at some more verses. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to tell you how to use this thing called peace. Keep it in mind that peace is being at harmony with God and His Word. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." So what it's saying is, it's telling us to put on this armor in Ephesians 6. And it says to, an old word, shod your feet, put on your feet, this gospel of peace. Now here's this cool thing. This is a Roman armor. And the Romans were well fitted with armor. And part of it were these shoes that were called, I know I'm going to destroy this, the clavate. Fellas, it was a pair of cleats. All right? I'm just going to use that. They put on a pair of cleats. A fighting Roman soldier had a different set of shoes than everybody else. He had on a pair of shoes. A fighting soldier had on shoes with iron nails sticking out from the bottom, little spikes, a set of cleats. Now, if any of you have ever played sports, you realize the person playing with good cleats has an advantage over the person that's playing with no cleats. Yeah. All right? Why? Because you can get those cleats and you can dig them in the ground and you can get a foundation, and then when you got that foundation, you are virtually impossible to move. Oh, I'm so glad Paul chose that. That makes sense, doesn't it? You see, the peace of God is the foundation on which we live life. The peace of God is the thing that when we settle into the peace of God, we got to get your feet in. When your batter gets in the box, he makes sure that his feet are planted. When a football player is getting ready to drill somebody, he gets down low. Why? Because he's trying to get that center of gravity over these cleats that have dug into the ground so that the other person moves, not him. Yeah. And so we clothe ourselves with the peace of God, which establishes this foundation, which when the enemy comes, you dig your feet in and go, you can't have me because I know who I am. You can tell me that I'm not saved. You can tell me that I'm not a Christian, but I know what Jesus did for me, and I'm digging my shoes in and I'm holding on to this foundation. There are plenty of people, they know the Word of God. And you said, I know the Word of God, Kevin. I use it in all kinds of situations and nothing happens. I want to ask you, what do your shoes look like? Because there's a lot of people that don't have the gospel on their feet, and they just go decreeing and declaring everything. That's popular these days. I don't know if you know it or not, but everybody gets up and decrees and declares something. Before you decree and declare something, I'd like to ask you something. Can I please see your shoes? Before you go decreeing and declaring the Word of God over stuff, can I please just pick your shoes up for a moment and let me see if the gospel of peace is under there? Because if not, what happens? Oh, I've done it before. I know. Boy, I go in there with my Word and I start hacking because it told me it's a two-edged sword, and I go after it, and the least little thing comes back at me and I go, woo! Woo! That didn't work. I'm going to quit forever. That's what we do. You know, we run up against something, we throw the word at it one time or two times or whatever, and if it doesn't move, man, we hightail it out of there. Why? Because we don't realize that we are established in God. Those Roman soldiers would dig their feet in, not just so they couldn't be knocked off, but they dug their feet into the ground so that they could push. And they worked as a unit, and they pushed the enemy back, and they pushed the enemy back, and that's what peace does. You cannot push the enemy back if you do not maintain a foundation in peace. Peace is a weapon. And then, if you'll turn over to Mark 4:39, so that you can see another aspect of peace. Mark 4:39, fairly popular story. Jesus tells his disciples to go on over to, they're going to go over to the other side, and he's in the boat with them. And Jesus decides to take a nap, and he's in the boat, and what comes up? A storm comes up. Anybody ever had a storm in your life? Anybody ever walked through a storm in your life? Yeah, so a storm comes up, and the disciples are panicking. So this has got to be a big one, a bad one. One that they've not seen before, because these are men that are weathered. They understand the environment, but they're scared and they don't know what to do. And finally they realize that Jesus, the one they've been trusting, he's in the boat, but he's asleep, and they wake him up. And in this matter of fact, that it's just matter of fact, it's almost anticlimactic. It's like he just stands up and he says, "Peace, be still," and he just sits down. And just like them, I look at that story and I go, who does that? You know, who does that? It's like he's lying down in the boat. He's asleep. The storm is going on. They wake him up. He gets up and he goes, peace, be still. My work is done here. Blows me away. Who does that? But here's the thing. There is a correlation between your ability to sleep and rest in a storm and your ability to have authority in that storm. That might have to settle in for a minute. You ever watched a new teacher? Every school year, you get a new teacher, more than likely. And you walk in and you just got that seasoned teacher. They just carry the authority of the whole world on their shoulders. And they walk in and every student in the class just sits down and gets prepared to learn. How do they do that? You know? And then a substitute comes in. Yeah? And, I mean, let's be honest. All hell breaks loose, right? You all right? The devil just comes to class that day and nothing gets done and everybody's crazy and they're both saying, "Everybody sit down, please pull out your stuff and let's begin the day." But there is something about a teacher who has authority that they walk in, they just exercise authority and everybody yields to it. You ever been in a situation, you're probably one of the other, a situation breaks out and you're the one that panics. Nobody wants to admit that, so there's no one like that in the room, right? But something goes, and all of a sudden, everybody's like Chicken Little, "Oh, the sky is falling." You know, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and all that. And all of a sudden, somebody walks in, and they go, "Look, this is not that bad. Look, this is what we're going to do." And all of a sudden, everybody just yields to that person, and they go, "Huh, okay, this person knows what they're doing." You know, there's a worldly authority. But what I'm looking for is this godly authority. And when you can rest in a situation, it's almost sure that you have authority in it. So if you can rest in your financial position, I bet you have authority over that area in your life. But if that stuff keeps you up at night, you probably don't have authority in that area of your life. If your kids keep you up at night or your spouse keeps you up at night and you just can't sleep over everything that's going on, you're probably out of harmony with God in that situation. That you don't believe what God says or who He is or the next step that you're supposed to take. You've gotten out of harmony because now you want it fixed faster maybe than it needs to be fixed, or you want it fixed in a different way than God is intending to fix it. And so you grab the horn, or not even the horn, you grab the instrument and you say, "Jesus, come and sing with me and fix this thing." And Jesus looks at you and say, "I've been singing this song forever, child." That's not how it works. You see, I've got a song I've been playing since all of creation began, even before that, from times of eternity. I've been playing this song of love. And if you want peace, you'll have to sing my song. You'll have to sing my song. You'll have to see your finances the way that I see them. You'll have to see your husband. You'll have to see your wife. You'll have to see your kids. You'll have to see them the way I see it. Any other way, you're not going to have peace, because I'm the only one singing the right song, child. There's a problem in life. There's a situation. It's going to bring a great deal of chaos. That's what the enemy's trying to do. Do you see it? He's trying to get you off of the foundation. And so he does anything he can to disquiet your soul. He does anything he can to try to get you fearful and afraid, because you can't fight from that position. But when I stand in peace and when I can rest in the situation, I don't even know how it's all going to have to work out, do I? Say, no, you don't. No, good answer. You don't. You don't have to know how it works out, because God says He will work it out. You just need to have the next step. And that's where the Word gives you the next step in what to do. So you get back to God and you get back to the Word. And then you even get back to a good night's sleep sometimes, which is amazing. I don't think that we can ever have authority in life until we can have peace and rest in that situation. Whatever it is, sickness, whatever it is, you got to be in harmony with God on that situation. And then one last thing I want to see about this is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 6. There's this principle. Jesus sends out His disciples, and He sends out a group of 70 of them. And this is the strategy that he tells them. He tells them to go into a place, don't carry anything with them. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 5, he says this: whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. That's a common greeting of the day. And then in verse 6, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. So here's the strategy of making disciples in the Bible. Jesus said, go into a place and begin to talk to people. In this case, find someone and say, peace be unto you. Now that's like I said, it's a common phrase of that time. And it says that if that person receives your peace, then you're actually supposed to stay there. Yeah, I'm going to go there for just a minute. Every now and again, I like to kill sacred cows just because I think they're ugly and they should die. So there's this sacred cow where we used to go around and we'd knock on everybody's door and we'd invite them to church and we would try to get Jesus in their life and all that kind of stuff, you know? And that whole principle, you'd knock on the door, you'd do something, and then you'd walk off and leave them. I'm like, man, we might have got the first part right, but we missed the second part. You don't knock and leave. You knock and stay. You stay with anybody that wants to follow Christ. And so I've asked myself, was it just a greeting or is it more? And I truly believe that it is more. I'm going to read this and then I'll tie it all together for you. It says, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Do you hear that? The peace will actually return to you. You see, peace is something that you can give away. Remember what Jesus said? My peace I give to you. It's more than a greeting. Do you realize you can give peace away? If you have it, you can give it away. And if you have peace, you can give it away. But a person has to make a decision as to whether or not they will receive it or not. And so some people won't receive peace. They will hear the gospel. They'll hear the good news about Jesus, and they'll decide for whatever reason that they don't want anything to do with it. They'll hear a message preached from the Word, and they'll decide that they don't want to live by it. And what happens is that Word, that gospel, it goes out, that good news, but it doesn't find a person who's willing to embrace it and get in harmony with God. Do you see that? It's like building a choir. It's like God's singing. We're getting a choir together. Do you want to sing this song? And you talk about salvation, and some say, no, I don't want any part of it. And then some, they say, yeah, tell me what to do. That's the place I believe that we have gone lacking in the church, is that when someone says, yes, I want to follow Christ, we go, great, have at it. God bless. The rest of the story was stay there and show them what it means to follow Christ. And so, do you realize that when you leave here, I'm going to start young and I'm going to move old. Do you realize, young people, when you go to school tomorrow, that if you have peace, you can give it away to anybody that wants it? Meaning that that whole place can be in chaos, wherever it is at school, but you can walk in as one person administrating peace. That's a big word. With peace in you, and you can give it away. Let's just keep it simple. Yeah? You can go into that chaotic work environment that you're dreading, and if you have peace, you can give it away to anyone that wants it. But here's what it said. Remember, if they don't want it, it returns to you. Make sure it returns to you. Because you may try to give it away, and then and all of a sudden you get worked up because nobody wanted it. Right? Nobody wanted what you were given, and you get worked up, and before long you went trying to give away peace and went, and you're like, where'd my peace go? So whatever environment you are in, you can change that environment with anybody that wants it. And so here's what I want to ask you today. I want to start from the basics, which is, when you got saved, what was the reason? What was the reason that you got saved? Did you want to get saved out of something? Was there a bad situation, a circumstance, something bad going on in your life, and what you wanted was to get saved out of it? Meaning, I'm going to come to God and hopefully God's going to fix my mess. Or did you get saved unto something? Meaning that when you saw God, you realized, this is the creator of the universe. This is God Almighty. I want to get in harmony with Him. Not, I want you to fix my mess, but I want to get in harmony with you. If when you got saved, you had no intention of being in harmony with God, meaning you didn't have any desire to sing His song, you didn't have any desire to walk where He was walking or do what He was walking, I don't think you're saved. I just want to be honest, okay? And I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. I'm not. Because you'll know is that there's just, you don't even have to do it good. Can I just say that? If there's anybody in the room and you say, I want to so bad, but I just keep messing up. I'm like, you're fine. You're one of the ones. You're a sheep, okay? Maybe a wayward one and all that. It's what's inside your heart. It's not how good you're doing at it. So you might say, Kevin, I want to follow God. I want to please God. I want to do what He says, but I mess up so many times. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I said, only God knows, but I think you're okay. Because your heart wants to be in harmony with God. Let's just keep walking, and I believe we can work this thing out. The one that I'm concerned about is the one that has no desire whatsoever. They don't want God, don't want His ways, don't want anything. Now, they'll eat His fish when He's hungry, and they'll take His miracles when they're sick. But other than that, they don't want anything from Him. That's the one that if you're in the room today, I would say, I want you to come and I want you to make a decision today that you will live in harmony with God. That you're gonna line your life up with His Word. And when you do, you're going to have amazing peace. Because that's what comes. See, we get the cart before the horse. We want the peace. Well, you can't have peace until you have the Prince of Peace. So, what did you get saved? How did you get saved? Was it from something or unto something? And let's get that settled. And then, stand up, because this is going to be cool too. Peace can be given, and peace can be received. When y'all stand up, I had to get a little higher because I can't see everybody's faces. All right, so I got to get up here where I can see your face. All right. The Man of Peace principle says you can offer peace. And if anyone wants it, they can receive it. When Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave, not the peace of the world, but if you want it, you can have it. Do you hear that call in your spirit today? If you want it, you can have it. In fact, they were supposed to go and say, the kingdom of God is in reach. Ooh, you hear that? Peace is in reach. God loves you so much, He put you in this room today because He had already in advance put in my heart to give away peace today. Ain't that good? Isn't He good? So you're in this room because he wanted to offer you peace in a certain situation or circumstance in your life. And he had already prepared my heart to give it away. Now, what kind of peace am I given? The same peace that Jesus gave his disciples. It's the same peace we've been given everybody. It is the presence of Jesus Christ and peace in his life. So here's what I want you to know is that in right now, I'm going to say that very same thing that Jesus said, the same thing that he told his disciples to say. And if you want it, praise God, you can have it. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in reach. Peace is at reach. It may have been elusive before, but it's right there today. All you have to do is want it and receive it. Then put it in the foundation. Let it be the very cleats of your life. And then one more thing, our small group leaders, if you guys will come forward, I want you to come up here real fast. We are assembling a team of people that can disciple, that will not leave you, okay? When we will not knock on the door and ask you to follow Christ and then not present some way in which to help you do it. So these folks up here, they have said that they are willing to help anyone who wants it individually, as a group, to follow Christ. I need to get our Celebrate Recovery people and our youth ministers, our folks that are at Ignite, so that you can see them. All right? I want you to see these faces. All right? Because you're not supposed to have one encounter with peace. You are supposed to live in it and fight from it. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to release the service, and then these folks are just going to walk, and we're just going to say hello. And if you need anything, go on and look up here. If you came in and you're like, man, I just need to talk to somebody today, just find somebody and you go, you know what? That guy, Mark, he looks like I could talk to him. See that smile on his face? All right? So do you want the peace of God? Do you want it for your finances? Do you want it for your spouse? Do you want it for work? Do you want it for something that I haven't even talked about, but it's been gnawing inside of you? Then in Jesus' name, I give you the peace of God. Something that's been done through the church through the ages, that Jesus gave it to his followers and told his followers to give to anybody that wanted it. The peace of God. You say, how do I receive it? You say, you believe that it is so and that you can have it. And then you start walking in it in faith. So in Jesus' name, I give you the peace of the God of faith, the peace of the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, that you can have it. And if you want to even learn how to walk in it more, then these folks right here have been sent by God to help you do just that. So in Jesus' name, go in peace. Amen. God bless you.